Good afternoon. My name is Anthony Ania. I'm an attorney at Ania Scanlon and Serignano, LLP, with offices in White Plains and Somers, New York. Thank you for joining me on my podcast called Talking Seniors. This is one of our most recent editions, and today I have the privilege of speaking to two individuals that are quite experienced and knowledgeable in the field of home care and home care consulting. And we're going to be speaking to both Lori Racanelli and Ann Markowitz Recht, and they're both with an organization known as Caring People, and it's located in the Bronx and has other offices throughout the five boroughs and the tri-state area. Do you have offices in other states other than New York?
Yes, we're in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Florida, Texas, and Massachusetts.
Okay. Ann, why don't you say hi so the audience knows who's Ann?
Hi, I'm Ann.
And Ann is a licensed master social worker in New York State, and she's a certified care manager from the National Academy of Certified Care Managers. She is the director of care management for Caring People, was the founder and former CEO of AMR Care Group, and Ann and Lori have been working together at Caring People for a number of years. Lori also holds a master's in public administration and health service management from Mercy College. She has an extensive background of working with seniors in the home and diverse long-term home care settings. She joined Caring People Home Care in 2018 as a home care consultant. Lori, why don't you say hi to the audience today?
Hi, how are you?
Good. So let's start off with some questions, because home care, I think, has become perhaps the most important part for seniors today in terms of their long-term care needs. You know, I don't get many clients that call me up and say, Anthony, I really can't wait to go to the nursing home. They're not looking to go into a facility. Everybody is looking to age in place, whether it be at their home, their child's home, a house that a condo or a co-op. You know, their long-term care expectations, I think, have evolved over the years. It used to be, well, there's no place for you to go but to the nursing home when you have certain conditions. But I think that's changed a little bit. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in the home care industry now and how things have changed as well.
Right. So as a care manager for the last 20 plus years, we've seen a lot of changes, as you mentioned. I think it has evolved where, you know, the pendulum swings every once in a while in terms of government benefits. And I think that somehow just dictates what people feel. So the pendulum has been at the home, where people, as you correctly stated, people want to stay home as long as they can and, you know, die at home. And that's an important component that we like to work into our conversations with our clients. So we really take them through, you know, not only home care, but around home care, the environment, the family dynamic, et cetera. So, you know, home care is the centerpiece, as you said. And people, you know, do want to stay home and get all the care they need at home, not only with home care, but any kind of medical, social, emotional, you know, getting the highest quality of life, which is what we try to do on the care management side, partnering with Lori and her team on the home care side.
So Lori, from your perspective, you know, one of the tough questions I always receive is, I love the idea of my mom staying at home and getting care at home, but how does she get socialization by being home when she's there by herself with an aide? You know, what can be done to increase the levels of socialization of somebody living at home?
Sure. Well, there are definitely a lot of solutions to offering socialization in the home. We can help coordinate trips to a senior center. The aides can assist in escorting mom to a local senior center. And also we can bring other interventions into the home as well. For example, we recently have added pet therapy to our line of services. So there are, you know, definitely different alternatives to having socialization in the home. But I would say senior centers, things like pet therapy, and other forms of stimulation would be great for socialization.
You know, also, it really depends on the person. You know, we kind of customize our plans, whether it be through home care or a care management team, in terms of who the person is. Were they church-going people, and then that kind of fell off with some isolation, family issues, what have you? You know, we bring that back around. Did they like to go to the theater? Hopefully when it opens, we can get that back. You know, and other, you know, do they have family that haven't seen? Has transportation been the obstacle? So we really look at each person and see, you know, what their life has been like, you know, in the better days, bring them back to a level of socialization, medical, you know, whatever their needs are, and get them back to whatever that socialization means to them.
Sure. And we can even have our caregivers bringing folks to their hair salon to get their hair done, which is historically also a form of socialization. Also to get their nails done is something that we see people liking to do a lot. So anything really, like Anne said, to maintain their quality of life that they've always had, we try to implement.
Well, that's great, because that answers, you know, I think a lot of questions that people have about, you know, staying at home and how can you still maintain that quality of life when you really don't have, you know, people around you other than the care provider. But again, I think a large part of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is really incumbent on the family to be part of mom or dad's socialization and part of their life. So if the family stays active in that and, you know, takes mom out to dinner or takes mom to visit the grandkids or the great grandkids, I think that is also part of the socialization. Unless there are restrictions on the ability of the individual to move and walk, and there's a danger to their health of being out. Of course, we've had to deal with COVID for the last, you know, 18 months or so. But I think that once things go back to normal, I think the family still has to play a big role in the caregiving and the socialization, even if they bring people in. Would you agree with that?
I think that's optimal. And if everybody had family.
Right. If they had family, that's correct.
But, you know, we're finding a lot of people don't. As people age longer, they outlive their families. They may never have had children. Their families are dispersed throughout the country, sometimes the world. You know, so we're there again as care managers. We and the home care piece. We have cultured companions. These are right. People in the art world who take people to shows and can walk through museums and really talk the talk. You know, getting that cultural connection. But sometimes families are not available. And they may live in the same area, but have jobs and their own families to care for, you know, sometimes disabled and other issues. So that's where, you know, caring people would come in to kind of, you know, I hate the word to use substitute, but in fact we do, and kind of pick up those pieces. And as aging experts, we really know the resources and how to get, you know, the right kind of socialization, you know, to the person, again, by finding out, as we talked about before, what they like, what was their full life like, and to bring as much as possible as they can, you know, as they can deal with.
So Lori, when is the process of having these conversations with the family about bringing care in? When did these services and, you know, occur? When do you start the process?
Right. So Anthony, as you said, you know, everybody's different. There's such a diverse population of seniors right now. Not only seniors, but home care can be for somebody who's not a senior as well. So the conversations and the situations vary. It can be an adult child who's recognizing things are a little bit off with mom, looking for things that are making it more difficult for mom or dad to continue their maintain their quality of life as it's been at home. It could be something like frequent hospitalizations that trigger the conversation to happen at home. Anything like forgetting keys, or we recently had, you know, a client who accidentally locked herself out of the house. You know, so very different situations can prompt the conversation to add home care into the home. and really looking at the big picture. And I know just a couple of minutes ago, we were talking about family. And so we actually have this statistic where the average distance between the adult child and the senior at home right now is 280 miles. So, you know, it could, that also plays a role in when the conversation is going to happen. Because if your daughter or if mom lives a few blocks away, they may notice it sooner. If the daughter lives further away across the country, then it may not happen until mom starts going to the ER because something's happening at home. So we recommend being as proactive as possible in starting the conversation. If little things seem to be off, we recommend reaching out and really seeking a consultant such as Anne or myself who can talk to families and help guide through that period.
Yeah, what I've observed is that the usually people wait too long to start having the conversation. I find that a lot of children are in denial about the condition of their parents. You know, they'll come in and they'll say, well, my dad's doing okay. And then when I start digging deeper and I start asking questions about activities of daily living, their ability to transfer, bathe, dress, and then sometimes they'll surprise me and say, well, I forgot to mention to you that dad fell twice last month, yeah, or that dad is becoming very forgetful. So yeah, I think there is a sense of denial by a lot of children as to the reality of their mom and dad's physical and mental condition. Have you seen that yourself?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we notice more is that the referrals or the questions and the prompting for people to reach out to us come from professionals such as yourself. Because, you know, you may spend a little bit of time talking with a family and identifying this sort of level of denial, where, you know, when you can actually say to your clients, you know, have you looked into home care if dad is falling a lot, or, you know, something is being repeated a lot in the home? I think you're right. I think families don't want to see things that are happening, and they do often wait a very long time for that to happen.
I think it has to do with facing your own mortality. We don't do well in this country. And, you know, if your parents are failing or, you know, declining, it's hard to accept because guess who's next, you know, but denial is, you know, it's a coping mechanism as well. What we're doing, caring people, we have an approach called Polaris, where every home care client will get a navigator. And they're an aging expert, and they'll start asking those kind of questions. So we're not waiting for people to come to us. We're kind of coming to them, asking the pertinent questions, just like you do, Anthony, and, you know, being able to identify some issues that they're not ready to accept, or they don't know because they haven't, you know, asked their parents some of these things if they're not living two blocks away. And sometimes, like I said, you live two blocks away, you can be busy with your own life. If you don't have eyes on it and don't pay attention, you know, things can happen very quickly, as we know.
Right. And even things as simple as mom saying, you know, I have my medications under control, everything's fine, I'm taking my medications. Even those things can go unnoticed by an adult child who's even visiting a lot. You know, so definitely, I think we find that, you know, the children are definitely in denial. They don't see things such as, is mom really managing her medications the right way? Are those pills really being sorted properly into the pill boxes? Yeah. I think the kids want to believe that their parents are managing. And, you know, and I also think there's a level of, you know, not wanting their parents to think that the kid doesn't have confidence that they can manage their own medication. So, you know, it's a very, very fine line with
there's,
dignity.
There's denial on both levels. There's the denial by the children, and then there's the parental denial where they say, oh no, we're fine. Everything is going well. We don't have an issue with this. We don't have an issue with that. I don't want anybody coming into my house to help me. You know, that there's a lot of resistance to that in some families.
And there's a lot of dignity involved. And,
yes. The pride. I call it the pride factor.
Yes. Yes. And the children want to respect that. But, you know, at the same time, if you let it go, it could really become a crisis situation. So it is really important, I think, for us to educate families and adult children on what to look for.
Right. So if you have someone come from caring people, and you hire someone from them, what do they provide? What are the services that you're going to have by having an aide or a home care companion? Because people always ask me that, what do? Do they just sit there and hold my hand and watch TV with me? Or is there things that they're going to actually do for me?
I'll let you take that, Ann.
No, I thought that was yours, Lori. Look, there are needs. Sometimes it's a matter of somebody has dementia but are able to do all their activities of living independently, such as bathing, dressing, you know, but they really can't be alone because they might, you know, put the stove on and forget. So that's, you know, kind of supervision, which a companion can be appropriate for. You know, the companion would be proactive, take the person out, socialize them. Again, this is a person that can walk, take care of their, you know, personal hygiene. And, you know, need stimulation, especially in a, you know, if they have early stage dementia, it's very important. So it's somebody to maybe cook with them, do laundry, a little housekeeping. And again, it's the supervision part. Some people should not be alone. I've heard families time and time, well, they're okay. You know, nothing will happen. Well, you know, we like to stay ahead of the curve. We like to be a little conservative on that end. Well, you know, I had a client where, you know, the water people came to read the meter and wiped her out with her jewelry, money. You know, she had full-blown Alzheimer's, you know, and what happens if there's an electrical fire? You know, right. These people will not know what to do. If you're willing to take that risk, you know, that's on you. I like to minimize the risks and, you know, having a companion involved, and you know, maybe it's 12 hours a day and somebody's home with the person if they live with the family, you know, that's fine, or 10 hours. But you know, some, you know, people that are left alone, you know, the risk is for depression, they stop eating, you know, and it's just a bad spiral down, and then you have problems. But if you start with a companion that can be interactive with the person, take them, you know, on social outings, you know, and maybe a dementia program, you know, this whole host of things we could recommend, and have an active day with good nutrition and taking the medications at the right time, you know, that will go a long way in staving off what the future, you know, may hold and needing much more care. If you leave someone like that at home, they trip and fall and break a hip, and we know what happens after that.
You know, that's the one factor that I always say to potential clients that are looking for care at home, is that, look, one of the major components of having a caregiver there is that their obligation is to make sure that your parents don't fall. So mm-hmm. If they have difficulty walking, their job is to accompany them to the bathroom, accompany them to the kitchen, and ensure that they don't fall. Because if they fall, you have the possibility of a broken hip, a broken femur bone, and you hear the horror stories about the recovery times, the therapy times, the potential for infection, the surgeries, et cetera. Why do you want your 85-year-old parent to go through this when you could have somebody in the house to accompany them when they're walking? So yeah, I think that is probably number one. But you know, again, you know, clients, they don't know exactly what kind of care their parents are going to get. So just give me like an overview of a typical day for a companion or an aide. And I know those terms are not exactly identical. I mean, there's a companion and then there's a home health aide. What is the difference?
So when people come on to services, particularly with caring people, we do a comprehensive assessment of their needs. So we don't just send a companion or a home health aide into the home. blindly. You know, all of the, we do a very thorough intake process. We talk to the families. And then also from there, they also, as Anne mentioned before, they have a care navigator assigned to them, which the care navigator will do a very, very comprehensive assessment. And they will also receive a nurse visit by a registered nurse, who will then collaborate. So the care navigator and the registered nurse will collaborate to make a comprehensive care plan for each of our clients. From there, that could include anything from what the companion will do in the home to what other interventions the client may need in the home. So, you know, if they need help getting to their doctor's appointments, or they need help getting, or they need transportation coordinated to go to their hair appointments, we can identify those items in advance of sending a companion into the home. However, once a companion is there in the home, they can do anything from supporting their socialization to preparing meals, bringing them to their doctor's appointments, bringing them to the hair appointments, and so forth. A companion gives a lot of social support in the home. And then if needed, we can provide a home health aide. And a home health aide can do everything that a companion does. However, a home health aide goes through a training program to be able to manage a more acute client. And by that, I mean somebody who may need physical assistance with transferring, somebody who needs help in the bathroom, somebody who needs a little bit more hands-on assistance rather than just social support and escorts to appointments. And either of those can make sure a client is not falling. You know, and from there, you know, the picture kind of becomes bigger. Are the needs being met? We're checking in on a regular basis. Is anything changing? Does the client need an increase in care? Do they need a decrease in care? You know, either way is appropriate as according to what that person needs. And then as Anne mentioned before, we also have the cultured companions who can bring some sort of specialized focus to the care in the home too. So if that person, let's say, you know, always went to galleries and they would like a more enriching experience and somebody to bring them to an art gallery who knows the art world, we can provide cultured companions as well on top of the home health aides and regular companions. And then of course, we do have skilled nursing services that can go into the home. So that can include anywhere from RN visits for wound care to LPNs that can sort out the pill boxes, as I mentioned before. Sometimes the medications are getting funky at home and we need an LPN to go in on a regular basis to sort that out. So pretty comprehensive program.
So who provides these services? Who are the people that do it and how does it get paid for? I mean, obviously, I'm very familiar with Medicaid and Medicaid providing home care services. Is this something that you accept? You accept Medicaid for the payment of your services?
We do not accept. We accept either money, private pay, or long-term care insurance.
Okay.
So those are the two ways. And like you said, the other way to pay for this kind of care is Medicaid, but we are not a Medicaid provider.
Right. So for those individuals that can afford this or have long-term care insurance, they're going to get, would you say, a higher level of care, a more diverse, you know, emphasis where you're looking at all the different components where you say, you know, if you need cultured companion, you could have a cultured companion. If you need someone, I mean, I don't think that's something you're ever going to get from Medicaid. You're not going to get a cultured companion.
No, you will not.
No. So this is a little bit different. I mean, not to diminish the help that people get from the Medicaid program, but through your group and your company, it's more a different level of care.
Yes. So I always, you know, my viewpoint, and as I mentioned before, we're not just sending an aide into the house to help. Right. We really are providing a comprehensive service. And that, yes, I don't think necessarily comes with, you know, a Medicaid funded program. This is something that, you know, people are paying for. We put a lot of effort and attention into the customer service that we provide to our families. So yes, I think you're absolutely right, Anthony. There is definitely a different level of...
I mean, I could tell just by, you know, listening to what you do that, you know, this is not typical, you know, home care aides coming in. This is for someone who is living at home, has the means, has the ability either through insurance or private pay or a family member who is willing to finance it and says, you know, I want my mom or dad to have the best of care. And they were used to going to the theater. They were used to going out to dinner. They were used to doing these things. I don't think they should be deprived that because of their becoming elderly and having some, you know, physical infirmities and issues. So it sounds very desirable to me. And I think there is a great market for what you do. And I think, you know, it's a business that's going to be growing. I think home care is going to be the wave of the future when it comes to providing care for seniors. I think the COVID-19 experience in particular has made very, very many people worried about putting their parents in a nursing home. I mean, they were worried even before COVID-19. You know, we all know the stories of what happens when flu season comes, when there's pneumonia spreading in a nursing home, et cetera. COVID now has made it significantly more complicated because not only is there the risk of getting the illness from the facility, if there is an outbreak, you may not be able to see your parent in person for 3 months, 6 months. So I think, again, and I've only been doing this for 35 years, I think the dynamics have really changed. And I'm seeing, you know, a Teutonic shift to the, you know, to the home care scenario, the aging in place concept.
Yeah.
What that has also done is push the envelope in terms of the care that's provided at home.
Right.
So, you know, COVID definitely pushed up telehealth. Telehealth was dragging and COVID just pushed it over. You know, they talk about the living room being the new exam room,
right?
You know, where doctors can go in, and we have concierge doctors going into the homes anyway, but if your doctor doesn't, you could still do it this way, you know, through Zoom or FaceTime. So that has definitely helped in terms of the care that we can get at home.
And the other thing too, is an individual could have, I correct me if I'm wrong, have Medicaid home care providing that basic level of care and still retain your company to be able to give these other things that their parents are not getting.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm sure you're in homes where the basic level is being provided by Medicaid, but if they want a cultured companion, they want some of these higher level of care, they can still retain you to do that.
Yes, and the other thing that I've seen, as you mentioned, during the COVID pandemic and families not being able to visit inside facilities, we've been able to provide private caregivers to go into facilities and be bedside companions throughout the pandemic as well. So that has actually been another benefit for families.
Lori, would you like to please give the name of your company again, the address, the contact, phone number, et cetera? You mind doing that?
Sure. We are Caring People Home Care. We are located in New York. We cover the whole entire Bronx, Westchester, Long Island, all the five boroughs of New York City. And to reach us, you can call 914-265-2100.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being on today. I think this is quite informative. Anne, is there anything else you want to add to the conversation? Any other thing that crossed your mind as we were speaking?
Not really. As you said, I think the shift is to home and we can really meet a person's every need from medical, social, emotional, you know, you name it, that at home and do it well. And as you said, nursing homes, you know, you started out saying nobody wants to go to a nursing home. Nobody really wants to age, but we have no choice in that. Right. And I think the best place to age is at home. Right. If the supports are there to, you know, hire us at Caring People and to provide people the best life they can toward the end of life.
I agree. I've been advocating for a long time for families to really only go to the nursing home as a last resort. If they only after they've explored the possibility of doing the home care. And if it doesn't work, it just doesn't work. There are some people are just too ill to be at home. I mean, that's a reality. They, you know, they're just too ill.
Yeah, well, I disagree with that a little bit, I think. Yeah. And that's another podcast you could do on
maybe we'll do that.
Dying at home. And, you know, many people want to do that. And that's possible through great.
Well, you're talking about the hospice scenario.
Right.
I'm talking about more, not where, you know, we know that they're going to die within 6 months or less. I'm talking about they just have medical conditions that can't be treated at home. You know, they're just sometimes they just can't.
With private pay, we can do anything.
Well, I'm sure with private pay you can, but we don't also want to bankrupt the family.
Right. I've had some families with incredible, like duplicating a nursing home. But in general, I agree with you. You're right.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Very good. Thank you both. Again, my name is Anthony Ania. I'm the managing member of Ania Scanlon and Serignano. We have offices in White Plains and Somers, New York. We're a boutique elder law firm. We handle all matters regarding estates, wills and trust, Medicaid planning, guardianships, Medicaid applications, nursing home care. And we have a team of attorneys that work on everything. And we all work as a team together here. So thank you to Anne and Lori. It was great seeing both of you, and good luck to you and with caring people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.